So today we got a guest speaker all the way from Minnesota, and the speaker, he's the Chi Alpha leader at St. Thomas University in Minnesota, and he spoke at my Bible camp this year, and he's amazing. So I just want to welcome you guys to Brent Silkey.
Morning, church. Well, again, my name is Brent Silkey, and it's just an honor to be here this morning with you. Man, God is so good. And there's something about just being together as the body of Christ on a Sunday morning, lifting up his name, that just gets you just fired up for the day. And so I'm excited to bring the word to you this morning. Pastor, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I wanted to introduce just one idea before we start. And if you get nothing else out of this morning, this one idea is what I'd love for you just to like think about throughout the week and see how does it apply to your life. Our family mission statement for 2017 is to do something you've never done, to reach someone you've never reached. Do something you've never done before, to reach someone you've never reached before. And I think we have people in our lives, maybe we work with them, or maybe they're in our families, or maybe there are people that we will see at Thanksgiving this week that we've been praying for, and we would love to see them come into a relationship with Jesus, but we don't know how to reach them. And my thought for you this morning is to try to do something, maybe it's an uncomfortable thing. How many of you love to be uncomfortable? Yeah, nobody, right? But maybe a couple people, praise God for you. But sometimes what it takes is us to do something we've never done, and sometimes that's uncomfortable for us. What I'd like to do this morning, before we jump into the message, is share a few stories with you. And God has asked me to do things in my life that made me completely uncomfortable. They were outside of everything that I knew. And I just want to share with you how good he is when we will step out of our comfort zone and do something we've never done. He will reach people we've never reached. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you for your greatness. And God, we thank you that you are here with us, that you are Emmanuel, that you are the God of heaven and earth, and you came down to earth so that we could have a relationship with you. And I thank you for that relationship. I thank you for those in this room, God, for those who are listening to this message online that have a personal connection to you because of what Jesus has done. I pray for those, God, that don't yet have that connection. I pray that we would be the church that would step out of our comfort zone and do something that we have never done before in order to reach someone who has not yet been reached. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would empower us. I pray that you would give us the boldness that we need. I pray you'd give us the wisdom that we need, God, to do what you've asked us to do in this season. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you are doing here. And God, what you're going to do this week during Thanksgiving week as we get to reflect on all the things we're thankful for as a community of believers. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us a special favor. Give us special favor, God, that we can go out and be who you've called us to be. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got a picture of my family here. It's going to be coming up. And my guys in the sound booth are the best. It's going to be coming up here. And this is my family. So this is my wife, Aliza. And Aliza actually grew up on the mission field in her teen years. She was in Belgium and Lithuania. And so her parents are still actually on the mission field today. They're church planting in the Baltics. They're doing amazing work. And so I married a missionary kid. She's the greatest person I've ever known. She helps me become more like Christ in our marriage, and I'm so thankful to God for her. In my lap there is she's kind of my mini-me. And so part of my story is that I was adopted. And so when Belle was born in 2012, she was the first person that I'd ever seen with my own eyes that looked like me. And so she's my little mini-me, and not only does she look like me, she has a very similar temperament, very dramatic, very passionate, she is not six, she is not five, she is five and a half, you know what I'm saying? And that's my baby girl. And then we have Clara Jean in my wife's arms, and she is every bit as sweet as her mama. And she'll come up and she'll just say, "Dad, are you okay?" She'll just pat her little hand on my face. I'm like, "Oh, you're the best." She's awesome. And actually, you can't see it, but in this picture, my wife, and currently today, she is carrying our third child. And so we're excited for May 2018 when we have baby number three. And a lot of people are like, "Hey, are you going to find out the gender of your baby?" I'm like, "Yes, I am." They're like, "Oh, it won't be a surprise." I'm like, "Oh, I'll be very surprised when we find out in January." So that's exciting. We're really excited about baby number three. And we have the honor of serving college students in St. Paul. Specifically, we work at the University of St. Thomas with some of the finest young people you've ever seen. And we're expanding kind of the reach of what Chi Alpha Campus Ministries does to St. Kate's. And our vision for the next 10 years is to see Chi Alpha planted on as many St. Paul campuses as possible. And if you're not familiar with Chi Alpha, it's a college campus ministry. I know we have some, I met some friends from InterVarsity today. But what we do is we're basically an extension of the body of Christ on campus. We have worship services on Wednesday nights. We have small groups that meet throughout the week all over the campus. We have outreaches and events. We have two outreaches we're going to be joining with other groups with this next semester. One of them is called My Story. And last year at My Story, on our campus of 6,000, we had 500 students come. And we had about 100 students respond to the gospel. It was an unbelievable thing. And we were there, and we partnered, we promoted it and everything, but Campus Crusade last year was really the driving force behind that event. And I sat up in the upper balcony of our auditorium because there was no room on the floor. It was completely packed out. And I sat up there, and I was like, the Spirit of God is moving on this campus. The Spirit of God is moving in our city, and that's what we ask God for. And so as we go into 2018, we're going to be partnering up with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We're going to be partnering up with Campus Crusade for Christ, St. Paul Outreach, Campus Outreach Chi Alpha. We're all going to be joining together to see if we can maybe see 700 students or 1,000 students come together and hear the gospel. And that's one of the outreaches we have coming up this spring. Another outreach is called Gospel Night. And one of our students he's the first St. Thomas student ever from Jamaica. His name's Keanu. He's the coolest guy you've ever met. And Keanu said, Brent, he said, I'm the chair of the diversity board on campus. I was like, well, that sounds important. He goes, it's pretty important. He said, we have a gospel night, and last year we brought in gospel music. We brought in a speaker who was nice. He said, well, we didn't preach the gospel. He said, would Chi Alpha ever want to partner together and preach the gospel at gospel? And I was like, we'll do whatever we can do to preach the gospel. So if we're going to have a night like that. So they're organizing these campus-wide events to reach our campus. We're trying to do something we've never done to reach people we've never reached. Another role that I have within Chi Alpha is that we've seen this, and this is, I'll speak from Minnesota's standpoint here. We have amazing student ministries. We have amazing Chi Alpha ministries, but we have no connection, hardly a connection between our student ministries and our Chi Alpha ministries. And so my director said, Brent, would you be the liaison between student ministries, because I have a youth ministry background, and Chi Alpha? And so this weekend alone, I had the opportunity to share with 75 Minnesota youth pastors about Chi Alpha Campus Ministries and how we can help build a better bridge between our high school graduates and our colleges. And so I love serving students. I love the next generation. And our family is, it's so funny how God works sometimes, isn't it? You're like doing your thing. You have your rhythm set. You got your schedule set, and bam, God's like, hey, I've got a new plan. And you're like, no, Lord, what? Right? And I just remember, my story is I grew up going to church. I went to every Saturday night service. I was in Sunday school. My parents were highly involved. They were volunteering. My dad was one of the parking lot attendants at our church. My mom, she taught Sunday school for like 25 years. And the crazy thing is that you can go and stand in a garage and not be a car, right? You've heard that before. And you can go to church and you can be in the church building but not following Jesus. And that's exactly my story. 18 years. Went to church every week, sometimes twice a week. I got baptized as a baby. I went through First Communion. I did all these different things that you're supposed to do. I jumped through all the hoops. But yet I was so disconnected from God. And I'm so thankful for my friend, Micah and Chris. These two guys in eighth grade. I don't know if you guys remember a thing called Instant Messenger. They were talking on Instant Messenger. And they said, hey, what would happen if our friend Brent Silke knew Jesus in a personal way? What would happen? Eighth grade kids. And they started praying for me in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade. They would invite me to church. And I would usually say no. Like, no, I got my own church. I don't really want to go to your church. And freshman year of college came around. And where I was in life was I was searching. I was trying to figure it out. What is my purpose? Who am I? What do I believe? What is this life about? I felt empty inside. If you looked on the outside, everything looked fine. I put up a certain way where I was like, hey, he's doing great. He's going to church. He's going to college. He's doing these different things. But inside, there was turmoil and there was emptiness. And Micah said, hey, Brent, would you come with me to church tonight? And I remember finally, after all those years of saying no, I was like, okay, I'll go with you tonight. We roll up to church. I walk in the sanctuary, and there are probably like 200 or 300 high school students lifting their hands in the air, praising the name of Jesus. And I walked in, coming from my tradition, and I was like, what is happening? This is very different, because our tradition, we do not express worship outwardly at all. And I walked in, they were worshiping God, and I thought it was a little weird at first, but I came and I sat right in the back, because that's where I felt most comfortable. And the longer I was in that service, the more I recognized that whatever they were singing about, whatever they were doing, they believed it with all their hearts. It was very, very eye-opening for me. And then this crazy guy got up, and this is a youth pastor, right? The crazy guy got up, and he started speaking this message, and I was like, I have never heard a message like this. It was like he was speaking to me. It's like it was the two of us in the room alone, and every word he said, it was like for me. I'm like, how did he know that? And how did he know that? God, what are you doing? You are real. And it's like he was speaking to my heart, and at the very end of the message, he said something that totally changed my life. He said, there is no good deed you could do. There is no thing you could achieve that was so great that would make God love you any more than he already does. And as an achiever, I was like, wait, I can't earn it? What do you mean? And he said, and on the other side of it, there is nothing so bad that you could ever do. There's no sin you could commit that would ever make God love you any less than he already does. And as an 18-year-old freshman in college, I sat in that back row and I was like, you don't have to tell me I'm a sinner. I already know. Even though I wasn't connected to Jesus, I still had this morality. I understood this from growing up in the church. He said, the coolest thing is that the way that you have a relationship with God is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And he didn't just die for your sins. He rose again and conquered your sins. He conquered sin and sickness and death. He conquered hell and the grave. He conquered it all for you. And I'm just sitting in the back like, I didn't know this. How did I miss this? 18 years, how did I miss the gospel in church, right? And it was my fault. I'll take all the blame. I wasn't paying attention in church, okay? It was not my pastor's fault. He was preaching the word. And I went that Wednesday night. I went the next week. I went the next week. And I don't know if you, for someone like me, it sometimes takes a little while. You know what I'm saying? Probably the 7th or 10th time at church. I remember saying, like, I need that. I need that. I'm so thankful to God that Chris and Micah were willing to do something they have never done to reach someone they have not yet reached, because I was unreached. And I committed my life to Jesus as a freshman in college, radically changed. And the funny thing about me is that I don't do something like, I'm either 0%, like not at all, or I'm 1,000%. There is nothing in between for me. There's nothing in between. I can't do 50, I can't do 100. It's 1,000 or zero. So I became a follower of Christ, and I'm like, everybody needs to hear this message. This will change your life. And I was coaching at my high school where I went to high school, and I had this Mustang I had just bought. I didn't really understand like financial responsibility at that point as an 18-year-old, but you know what? I learned it along the way somewhere. And I remember I bought this car, and I was coaching, and I would go to my athletes. I would say, hey, what do you guys got going on tonight? They're like, oh, you know, just studying. I'm like, that sounds boring. Why don't you come with me to youth group? They're like, what's youth group? I'm like, just get in the Mustang. We can ride the Mustang? Yeah. So we piled kids in the Mustang every week. Football players, basketball players, whoever it was. If I saw somebody in the weight room, like, hey, what's going on? What do you got going on tonight? Probably shouldn't do that as a coach in a public school, but I did that. I was just fired up for God. They would get in the Mustang, we'd drive to church, and they would have the same experience that I would. They would walk into a service. They would see people their age worshiping God in a passionate outward expression, and they'd be moved. They'd hear the gospel. They would have this like, I remember driving so many students back to their house, and they would just be like this look of like, whoa. Was that? They would say this frequently. I've never experienced anything like that before. And I was so passionate about people knowing Jesus. And I'm like, if I need to buy a Mustang and get high school kids to come with me to church, we'll do it. Do something you've never done before, right? And I remember in 2006, Pastor Ryan, my youth pastor who led me to the Lord, he said, hey, we're going to be going on a mission trip next summer. I want you to think about going. I said, well, where are we going on a mission trip? He said, we're going to Costa Rica. And I was like, all right. Sounds cool. Never been there before, but it sounds warm. So we prepared and we got ready for this trip, right? And he said, I have one rule for this trip. And when someone tells me that there's one rule, I'm about to listen to that rule because I don't want to mess up that rule. He said, we will prepare as a team. We'll pray and fast as a team. We'll do all these things. He said, if you show up to the airport on June 17th, 2006, and you cannot recite our one scripture verse, you cannot get on the plane. I don't care if you've paid the money. I don't care if you've prepared. If you cannot recite this verse, you cannot get on the plane. I will not take you with me on this trip. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord. All right. Better help me remember this, Lord. And it was Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what? To be my witnesses. What does a witness do? They testify to what they've seen and heard and experienced, right? And I knew all about that because that was my experience. Micah and Chris, all these years, like, oh, you got to come to this. You're not going to believe what God did. God healed this person. God saved this person. And then I finally came and I got saved. That's what we're supposed to do. We're empowered by the Spirit of the living God to be a witness. And so I remember walking to the airport that day, or walking to the airport, getting to the airport that day, and I had a friend who wasn't even going on the trip, but it was actually Chris, the same guy that started praying for me in eighth grade, standing outside of MSP Airport. He's like 6'6", 150 pounds. So like, it's very, you know, he was standing out there, and he was like, every time one of our teammates would come, he would like literally stand over them because he's so tall, and he'd say, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." He wanted to make sure we could go on this trip. It's a good friend right there. Do something you've never done, right? And I went on this trip, and it was a few days before the trip. We paid the money. We did all the preparation. We're at our last team meeting, and my youth pastor said, "Is anyone here adopted?" And it's Minnesota, and I'm like, there's probably 7 or 8 of us that have been adopted. So I raised my hand, and I'm looking around the room. I'm like, oh, no. I'm the only one. He said, "Brent, great." He's like, the missionary, John Dolliger, would love for you to share your testimony. And I was like, what? We didn't talk about this until now, 4 days before we leave? And my greatest fear of my life was public speaking. And I said, "Pastor Ryan, how many people are we talking about?" He said, "Just a couple, 1,000. And I was like, oh, sweet mercy. I didn't know what to do. And he said something else that night that truly changed my life. He said, "If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit," he said, "we're going to pray tonight that God would empower you, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And I remember, because from my tradition, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that was. I just knew that I needed some power from heaven. Come on, somebody. And I remember talking to him. I said, "Pastor Ryan, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit." And they prayed for me that night, and God empowered me by his Spirit. And I remember standing on the stage shaking with a microphone in my hand, reading my testimony, and then having someone translate it into Spanish and sharing about how I had kind of my background with my birth father not really knowing that I exist and leaving the scene before my birth mother knew she was pregnant, and how she just knew that coming from a poor background, she couldn't take care of a baby. And so she put me up for adoption, and how this amazing family in America, all the way over in America, received me into their family and loved me with this incredible love of Christ. And how they, because there's a lot of brokenness in their family culture in Costa Rica, how they could be adopted into the God's family just like I was adopted into the Silky family. And it was such a powerful experience for me, because it was doing something you've never done before, that you never want to do before, that you were freaked out of your mind to do before, to reach someone you've never reached. And I remember on that trip specifically, that in 2006, that year, God called me to ministry. And I remember we were at a church on a Sunday morning, and we had a kid's service, and we were in charge of the kid's service. We had puppets, we had a song, we had a dance, we had all these different things. These are all things I've never done before. Puppets actually scare me a little bit. And so we were doing all these things to reach these kids, and I remember being in the upstairs room, and one of the interns was preaching the gospel through this translator. There were 38 kids in the room. I remember counting their little heads. And at the very end of the message, he gave it the gospel presentation, and he asked these kids if they wanted to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember counting 35 little hands that went up in the air. And church, I had to leave. I was so emotionally, I literally went and found a bathroom, and I just sat there and I wept. And I said, I don't know of a greater thing I could give my life to than preaching the gospel. It scares me out of my mind. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I remember that was the year I had done my 2 years at community college. I was going to be going to North Central University in Minneapolis. And I was like, I'll do any major except with a major that you have to speak. Like, I'll do a youth development, not youth ministry. I'll do whatever, but I'm not going to do a thing where you have to like get up in front of a class of people to prepare to speak in front of a church full of people or whoever it may be. And then God was like, well, Rent, actually... And I just want to reiterate this statement. Do something you've never done to reach someone you've never reached. And maybe you're highly uncomfortable. I can completely relate to that. If you said, "Brent, you have the choice of being locked away forever and no one ever seeing you again, or speaking in public," I would have said, "Where's the room?" Because it freaked me out. But God empowers us by his Spirit to be a witness, to testify what he's done in our lives. What he's done, what we've seen him do, what we've experienced and witnessed. And I remember I had the opportunity then to serve as an intern at my church, which was so crazy. Pastor, to be able to get saved in the back row and then to be able to sit on the front row and serve the students of the church. I'm like, I have a dream job. And people are like, well, you're hardly even getting paid. I'm like, I don't care. This is, I get to serve students and help them come to Christ every week. And if I have to put bulletins in every seat or if I make the PowerPoint slides, I don't care. But I get to be a part of what God's doing at my church. I can't believe it. And then I graduated from college. And my senior pastor, Jerry Strinquist, offered me a position at our church. And I was like, you don't even have to pay me. I didn't say that. But I was like, this is the greatest thing on earth that I get to actually be a part-time staff at the church where I met Jesus and help students from around the same area come to know Christ. I couldn't believe it. And then the next year, they offered me a full-time position. And I was just like, I thought I would do that until I died. I thought I would be in student ministry until I died because it was there's something about students and just their openness and their hearts to Christ that I just am drawn to and I love. And then God did something in 2015 that totally changed everything for my family. Here's the deal for our family. We came out of North Central with quite a bit of student loans. And we said, let's live as simply as possible in a tiny apartment in Bloomington and pay down as much of this as possible because we want to have a family, we want to have kids, we'd like to have a house someday. So for 6.5 years, we were just diligently paying down our student loans. We got to a point where Belle was born, and then we got to a point when Clara was born that we said, hey, let's buy our first home. So we bought our first home. We closed on December 5th, 2014. I remember dates. It's kind of a weird thing about me. And I remember we moved in that day, and it was this amazing experience. Like, we have our own home. This is awesome. We're working at Cedar Valley Church. And I remember this guy walks into my office, and he says, hey, Brent, my name is Mike Amiot. I'm the Chi Alpha Director for the Great Plains region, 7 states. And he said, I have been praying and have asked my prayer partners to pray for the private campuses in our state because we do not have any Chi Alphas on any private campus in Minnesota. He said, we've been praying for a while. I Googled it, and I checked him out what he was saying. I found a newsletter from 2006 that he sent to his prayer partners and his financial partners that he said, hey, let's pray for St. Thomas. Let's pray for St. Paul. Let's pray for our private schools. That's the same year that God called me to ministry. And he said, we're praying for someone to pioneer the very first private campus Chi Alpha in our state. He said, someone that can build a team, somebody that can lead a ministry, someone that can do all these different things. He said, we'd really like for you to consider that. And I was like, well, that sounds very interesting. I said, my only question is this. And he knew the question that was coming. This is salaried, right? You're going to pay me to do this? He goes, well, you become a missionary, actually. I'm like, well, what does that mean? He's like, well, you'd have to go and raise your own funds to support your family and do the ministry. And I was like, I'll pray about it. Right? You say that? Do you ever? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It's this polite Christian thing. I'll pray about it. I think God was in heaven laughing because he knew what was happening. So that was a Wednesday that I talked to Mike. We have a youth service that night. How cool is God? The guy that brought me to church, Micah, was our junior high pastor when I was the high school pastor at church. It's so cool to work side by side with him. He preached that night, and he said, we're going to end the service with an open time of prayer. So I went to the very back of the room. I just meet with Jesus back there, and I got on my face before the Lord, and all I could think about since I met with Mike that day was St. Thomas. I couldn't think about youth. I couldn't think about Cedar Valley. I couldn't think about Bloomington. I was just thinking about St. Paul and St. Thomas. And God gave me a vision, and it was of the cross streets. If you're familiar with downtown St. Paul, there's Summit Avenue and there's Cleveland Avenue, and there's like these islands in the middle that separate the traffic direction. It was me on that island with a Bible open in my hand with students around me. And I was like, oh no. Lord, we just bought a house. We just had our second baby. This is no time to become a missionary. And he's like, wait. Did I call you to this? I'm like, I think so. Am I faithful? Yeah. Why are you worried? I don't know. You know what I mean? If you've ever had those experiences, like to do something you've never done before. I've never been a missionary before. I never raised a budget before. To reach people you've never reached. I was like, okay, Lord, if this is what you're asking us to do, you got to show me clearly. Give me a sign. You ever asked the Lord for a sign? Just me? Okay. You asked the Lord for a sign. And I remember sitting on the front row as a prayer meeting at our district council. And so I said, just give me a sign, show me it's you, and I'm in. Because again, 0 or 1,000. And someone stood up, and they read Isaiah 41:9-10. I've called you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I've called you. I've chosen you, I have not rejected you. I will go before you. I'll uphold you with your righteous right hand. And I sat in the front row, and I bawled my eyes out. Our superintendent came and sat down next to me. And church, you know, like in movies, people cry and it's beautiful. Maybe there's a little mascara running or whatever, but it's not ugly cry. I was ugly crying in the front row. Snot was everywhere. My superintendent sat next to me and I went like this. Pastor? I was so embarrassed. I didn't have a tissue or anything. And he said, Brent, what is God doing in this moment? I said, Pastor, God just called us to be missionaries to the University of St. Thomas. And he looked at me with this like twinkle in his eye, like he already knew. He's like, wonderful. And he prayed and God just began to do some crazy stuff. And you know what? Last year, it was September 7th, 2016. We had our first service. And I don't know if you've ever been in a season of life where you have worked so hard and you've built a team or you've done something at work. You've worked on a project for over a year and a half. And it's like, okay, is anyone going to come? Is anyone going to show up at our Chi Alpha? Is this going to work? Lord, are you really in this, Lord? And I remember that first night, 30 minutes before service, we were praying. And I was like, oh my, what if no one comes? What if the only people are here are the volunteers and the staff I've recruited? And I remember when they started coming, and they started coming, and they started coming. I counted that night, 130 people. They came, and it was one of those things where I was like, okay, if we will do something we've never done, and if God calls us to do it, we'll reach people we've never reached. And that night, we saw 8 students raise their hand and respond to the gospel. One of those students, his name was Cooper, and I just need to tell you his story. Because I spoke at a church in Stillwater, not too far from here, a couple summers ago, and this lady named Jill heard the story and heard the vision of Chi Alpha. And she became like, I didn't know this. Like, no one told me that this was going to happen. She became like a billboard for us. She became like a walking advertisement for us. And she would go to a grad party, and she would see someone wearing St. Thomas gear. And she'd say, hey, you're going to St. Thomas? Have you heard of Chi Alpha? Oh, have you met Brent Silke? And they're like, what? Who? What? And she met Cooper at a grad party, St. Thomas stuff, and she said, hey, you should talk to Brent Silke. So she sends me a Facebook message, gets us connected. I'm like, Cooper, I would be honored to buy you lunch and just share about Chi Alpha before we even launch. He said, oh, great. So we came to St. Paul. We met at Summit Church in St. Paul. We went out to eat, and I shared our heartbeat and our vision for Chi Alpha. And I wish you could have seen his face, because, you know, it's just kind of like meeting someone, and they're like, oh, yeah, cool. And then by the end, he was like, I can be a part of that? And I was thinking, we haven't started yet, but yeah, you can be a part of that. And he came on the very first night, and he brought his girlfriend with him. And he responded to the gospel. And his girlfriend was a little bit of a skeptic. And so she started reading the Bible 1-2 hours a day to see, is this thing real? Is this Jesus really real? And 2 months later, at our women's event, Sisterhood, she gave her life to Christ. And I remember being at Fall Retreat, and these two have never been to a retreat or anything like this, kind of a thing. And at the end of our Saturday night service, Cooper came up to me with tears in his eyes. He said, Brent, I was baptized as a baby, but I feel like God's asking me to get baptized tonight. And I'm thinking, it's like 40 degrees outside, and I couldn't care less, because this guy is about to profess his faith in Christ in front of this whole group of people, and we're about to get in that lake. So we got in that lake. I jumped in. 4 other of our leaders, we were all so excited. We're like, we're all going to baptize Cooper, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? And what's our call is to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Cooper gets in the water after sharing his testimony. And I said, Cooper, it is our honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize him. He comes out. He's just celebrating. Cooper would go on to continue to invite people to come to service. He shared his testimony that next week. His roommate came and got saved. I mean, it was just this incredible progression of what was happening in his life. And I think about that original time when I talked to Mike Amiot in April of 2015. I was like, there's no way. You want us to become missionaries? Do what? And I just want to say this. If God has asked you to do something in this season, or if maybe he's asked you to do something in a greater way in your life, in your career, and you're like, I just don't know. I just don't. Where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he provides. And if you will do something you've never done to reach someone you've never reached, guys, I promise you, crazy things will happen. I can't tell you what they'll be. I had no idea what we'd expect. I had no idea what to expect when it came to St. Thomas. But as of today, we've seen 61 students come to know Jesus since we started last fall. And that's because God is alive. He is working. He's moving. And that's not to our credit. I want to show you a picture of our staff team. Oh, hope and we can go stay there, actually. Hope and Justice. That's a really important thing for us because St. Thomas said, we already have Campus Crusade. We already have FCA. We already have these other ministries. Why would we let Chi Alpha on our campus? And we said the two things that separate us from the other groups, not in a good or bad way, just in a different way, is that we are a Pentecostal group. We believe that when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can go and be a witness. And the second thing is that we believe that there is this precedent that we are called to fulfill this biblical justice kind of thing on the earth. That when somebody is made a sexual slave, that we would be the group that would help fund and help resource the missionary, the missions team, to rescue them and provide holistic restoration. When there is a hurricane, that we could be the group that would go and bring relief in an area like Houston. That we could be the people that would be the active gospel responders to the different crises that are happening around the world. They said, oh, we don't have that. We'd love to have you on our campus. We said, praise God. And I want to show you a picture of our staff team. I thank God for these people every day. Because the crazy thing is when you talk to someone about coming on a staff, I have to have a Mike Amiot conversation and say, I can't actually pay you for this. You'll have to become a missionary for this. And we've had 6 amazing people respond to that call. And so the bottom, I guess it'd be the bottom left for you guys, that's Mitch Panic. And Pastor Mitch is our associate campus pastor. And he was planting churches in Philadelphia. He helped plant 3 churches. He has an incredible mind for marketing and all these different things. And God called him back to Minnesota, and he didn't know why. He said, God, I love Philadelphia. I would live and die here. But God called him back. And I met with Mitch for lunch. I said, Mitch, I think maybe one of the reasons you're back is to be a part of this team. Mitch is an invaluable part of our team. Next to Mitch is Coral. Coral is our creative director. Everything, if you were to walk into one of our services, everything you would see visually, Coral designed it. She made it. She's unbelievable. She's our marketer. She's our creative director. My wife is there next to me. And then right above is Amanda, Pastor Amanda. She's our women's ministry pastor. When Paige, Cooper's girlfriend, came and gave her life to Christ, Pastor Amanda was preaching fire that night. She was preaching the gospel. She is anointed by God. And she actually got saved in our student ministry when we worked at Cedar Valley. Next to her in the plaid there, looks like the brawny guy, that's Pastor Zach. He's our men's ministry pastor. He's a man of God. He is doing great work. He's actually dating a Chi Alpha director in Wisconsin at Oshkosh. The one in the middle there with the scarf is Ruth Ann Mussetter. I thank God for her especially. She is our executive assistant, and she is so strong administratively that she makes up for my great lack. And she helps us be focused. She brings a wisdom to our team that we thank God for, because she's like, hey guys, have we thought about this? We're like, no, actually no one thought of that. Thanks, Ruth Ann. She's this amazing lady. And then on the very end, there's Peter, Pastor Peter. He's our associate director of Chi Alpha in St. Paul. And Peter, this is a crazy story. He said, hey, Brent, this is when I was raising our initial support as missionaries. He said, hey, I'd like to meet with you. And that's the season where I was calling people like crazy. And he called me. And we went to Chipotle, praise God. And we sat down and he said, hey, Brent, I was at the University of North Dakota. I was serving in Chi Alpha as a student leader. I had not yet finished my degree. God called me back to Minnesota. I didn't know why. And I searched and searched. He said, then I heard you're starting Chi Alpha. He said, I want to pray for you. I want to give every month and support you. And if you'd have me, I'd like to be on your team. And I was like, what? Like, this is before we had anything. We hadn't even launched. He's like, I want to be on your team. He has been like an armor bearer sent from God. He has been unbelievable. So this is a staff team that I get to serve with, serve college students with, and I thank God for these people. They're absolutely amazing. But why does this happen? How could God orchestrate these different people to leave their jobs or to take their first job out of college to become missionaries? It's because if we will do something we've never done before, we can reach people we've never reached before. And they're like, well, how can I do it? You'll be empowered by His Spirit. You'll be empowered by God's Spirit. I think about this last thing I'll share with you here. Before I turned 30 years old, I remember I went out to, it was December 28th, 2015. I went out to Perkins with one of my former students from youth who was serving as a United States Marine. He was home on leave, and he said, hey, Brent, what's new? And I said, well, I turned 30 in May. That's new. I said, and I think God's asked me to run 30 miles on my 30th birthday, to have 30 friends come along for the ride, and to raise $30,000 to rescue people out of sex trafficking. And he had no response. I was like, oh, this is awkward. And I found out through research that every 30 seconds, somebody becomes a victim of human trafficking. At the end of our breakfast, after he had said nothing, there was no closure to that point. It just like went on to the next thing. He reached in his pocket. I've got a picture of this $100 bill he gave me. He gave me this $100 bill. And I said, Yoel, what is this for? He said, this is for your dream. He said, I hear briefings in the military all the time about people who have been trafficked. He said, it's a horrible injustice. It's evil. He said, let's do something about it together. Do something you've never done. He'd never given me $100 before. Do something you've never done to reach people you've never reached. What Yoel did not know is that that would spark something in my heart in an even greater way. I went to my car. It was December. It was very cold. I sat there and I made two phone calls. One was to Venture Expeditions. They're an amazing organization that fights human trafficking. They feed refugees. They do this amazing work. And I contacted Pastor Mark Dean, who was our district youth director at the time. I said, I have this dream. It's crazy. I know we only have 5 months lead time, but I think we're supposed to do this. There's a picture of a group of us. This was my birthday, my 30th birthday. And we had 123 people that were crazy enough to join us. 75, they did the 5K version. And then 48 people ran 30 miles with me on my 30th birthday. And I remember thinking, like, people are like, wait a second, Brian, I'm tracking with you. You're a missionary, so you have to raise funds for support for your family. You have to raise funds for Kyle for ministry stuff. Why would you then try to raise $30,000 for something completely outside of your organization? Because if we will do stuff we've never done before, we can reach people we've never reached before. And I just want to give praise to God for this. But that first year, our goal was to raise $30,000. $81,346 came in. It was totally crazy. It was crazy. I remember this day was so crazy. We had a big fundraiser at Chick-fil-A afterwards. And we said, hey, if you come to Chick-fil-A, they're going to give a portion of the proceeds. I remember standing up on a table at Chick-fil-A explaining why we were here and the heartbeat of God to help rescue people who are trapped and enslaved and set them free in the name of Jesus. It was a ticket to preach at a Chick-fil-A. It was like preaching to the choir, right? Glory chicken, we call it. And I remember standing there and just sharing with these people, and like people kept saying, hey, what about next year? What are we doing next year? What are we doing next year? So this year, we decided we'd have a 5K officially, because the 5K was unofficial last year. We'd have a 5K, we'd have a half marathon, we'd have a 30-mile run. And I said, well, what if we could include more people this time? What if we, instead of having 5 months lead time, what if we had a year? We begin to dream and plan and ask God what he'd do. And this year, there's a first group picture. The Minnesota chapter alone, we had 400 people that decided to run for the sake of victims of sex trafficking. There's another group picture that has the same picture in it. We actually expanded this year to 8 states and 4 countries, this 30 for Freedom movement. And the cool thing is that this is a God-birthed dream that was sparked by the generosity of a student. He gave that $100. And what Yoel didn't know when he gave me that $100 in December in 2015 is that that would be the first $100 in over $250,000 raised in 2 years to fight sex trafficking. Unbelievable. Well, why would you do that? Well, because there are people that are enslaved. There are people that are enslaved, and sometimes we're like, God, why would you let this happen? Why don't you do something? And he's like, then do something. You're the church. Be my hands and feet. Be the voice for the voiceless. And so our students, I just want to tell you one more thing about Cooper. Cooper got saved. He got baptized. He jumped into leadership. He helped other people in his life come to know Jesus. And on May 27th this year, Governor Dayton declared, the governor of our Minnesota declared that it was 30 for Freedom Day and across our state. It was so crazy. And Cooper came that day, and he sent me a text afterwards. He said, Brent, I got up early before class. He said I would run on my lunch breaks. I would do all these different things. I trained through injuries and different hardships. I learned so much. He said, but crossing that finish line on May 27th was an unbelievable experience. His whole family came. Cooper, in our group, our little first year Chi Alpha group, we raised $29,000 this year in our first year of Chi Alpha. Not for Chi Alpha, but so we can help set people free. Hope and justice is what we're all about. That's what we stand for at St. Thomas, that we stand for as followers of Christ. And I think about all these things that God did. I think about all these crazy things. What God asks us to do doesn't make sense usually. It's never comfortable. He's not like, oh, hey, you know what I want for you? To be more comfortable. I've never heard him say that. I don't know if you have. He says, I don't care about your comfort as much as I care about your character, as much as I care about reaching people who are far from me. And I thank Jesus that my crazy eighth grade friends prayed for me, and they did something they've never done to reach someone they've never reached. I'm thankful to God that when I was terrified out of my mind to speak publicly, I never thought I'd be speaking at a summer camp. You know what I mean? Like, I'd have been like, you got the wrong guy. But God, when you let him get in the game, when you let him empower you by his spirit, he will do things that you couldn't even dream or imagine. And I just want to encourage you today, church, that whatever it is God's asking you to do in your life, that if you will step out in faith and do something you've never done, he will reach people that you didn't even know could be reached. My cousin in Washington, she's a runner. I haven't seen her in probably 15 years. I haven't seen her. She lives out there. We live here. And I said, Paula, would you help lead a chapter of 30 for Freedom Washington? She goes, I would love to do that. And a month before our event, she sent me a message. And she said, Brent, between my new business that I've started and being part of 30 for Freedom, I found my faith in God again. And I was like, wait, what? How? She's like, yeah, I have this new business I'm a part of and 30 for Freedom and all this stuff and just seeing the post. She's like, I found my faith in God again. I'm like, what? God's probably thinking, yeah, if you do something you've never done before, like try to organize a 30 for Freedom run, I'll reach people that are in your own family that you've never reached. I have a burden and a heart for my family. I can't wait to see them at Thanksgiving. There's to be like, you know, the expression of God's love. And so think about in your life, where has God put you? Where are you working? You know what I mean? I worked at Best Buy in college. It was so fun pushing buttons and talking to people all day. It was awesome. And I had an opportunity to share the gospel with coworkers and things like that. And I just think about, like, where has God called you? What is God asking you to do in this season? Maybe it's uncomfortable. I had a coworker. He was one of the most, he was far from God. And he one day looked at me and he said, Silky, why are you always so happy all the time? Like, he asked like in a really mad tone. I was like, oh, man. And I didn't have like a good response. I said something like cheesy thing. I was like, oh, it's the joy of the Lord. And I walked away. I was like, come on, Brent. Opportunity, you didn't take it. And what I felt in that season to do, I felt like I needed to write him a card. What guys write each other cards? I was like, all right. He opened the door. I'm going to write a card. I'm going to put it through the door crack. And I wrote him a card. I said, hey, man, here's the deal. I gave you the worst answer the other day. It is true. The joy of the Lord is in me, but this is why. This is what Jesus has done in my life. This is what's happened recently to be a witness, right? And I gave it to him. And that was the most awkward thing because he didn't ever say anything about it again. I was like, oh, man, I put like my heart and soul into that. I was like, whatever, it's all right. I did it for you, right? And it was like years later, he sent me a message. He said, hey, I have that card still. I told my mom about that card. He said, you have no idea what that meant to me. And I'm like, okay, guys, church, if we will do something we've never done before, we can reach people we've never reached before. And the final thing I want to do, I want to invite the worship team to come on up. Just want to share this final thought. If God asks you to do something that makes your heart race, like if you're sitting in the pew right now and you have a face coming to mind. You have something, a dream that God has put in your heart. You have different things that are coming to mind right now. You're like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I want to remind you, we can't. We can't. But God says, I will empower you by my spirit to be a witness. In Jerusalem, which would be River Falls, in Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Maybe you are called to go to a different country and preach the gospel. Maybe you're called to go and serve on the mission field in some capacity, but you've been so afraid and crippled by fear. Like, how could I ever do that? I'm just saying, if God calls you to do it, he'll provide a way through it. If God asks you to do something that's uncomfortable in your school, we had a student in high school who prayed. She fasted every single week for her school. She would do prayer walks around her school in the summer when there was no school in session. And her senior year, she had this unbelievable opportunity, and I understand that this isn't for everyone, but in front of her entire school, she had at a huge FCA night, she had the opportunity to preach the gospel to over 1,300 friends in high school. Well, why? Well, she positioned herself in such a way to hear from the Lord, and then she took steps of obedience to do something she's never done, to reach people she's never reached. I couldn't be more proud of her. And I just want to say this. The greatest mark of success for a Christian, for a Christ follower, is obedience. It is as plain and simple and as difficult as that. If we will be obedient to what God asks us to do, you guys, God will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask for or imagine. We never would have dreamed what God would be doing at St. Thomas 2 years ago. We never dreamed about what God would be doing with 30 for Freedom. But here we are today, praying for God to continue to do immeasurably more. Would you guys bow your heads with me in prayer? And the way that I like to end services, I like to ask two questions. Now, first question is this. If you're in this room and you would just say, you know what, Brent, I would love to be willing to be used by God, to do something I've never done, to reach someone I've never reached. I'm a little scared of that. I'm sure I understand. But if you're in this room and you'd be really gut level honest and say, you know what, I would be willing to hear from God this morning, and whatever he says, I want to do it. Would you just raise your hand if you'd be willing to participate with God's kingdom moving forward in that way? Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. That's awesome. That's a lot of people. Just put your hands down. The second question, and we ask this every single week at Chi Alpha, because it's the most important question you'll ever be asked. If you're here this morning, and maybe you relate to what I said earlier about myself, that, man, I went to church my whole life, but I was distant and far from God because of my sin, and I knew it. And maybe this is your morning where you would just say, you know what, I'm done playing games, I'm done wearing a mask, I'm done just whatever. And this is my morning where I come to Jesus, where I surrender my life completely and fully to him 1,000%. I want to just give you that opportunity this morning because I know that the multiple opportunities I received led and paved the way for me to become a follower of Christ, not just a church attender. So if you're here this morning, you would just say, you know what, Brent, I want to pray that Jesus Christ would come and be my Lord and Savior, forgive my sins, and make me a new creation this morning. Would you just raise your hand right now if that's you? Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? You just say, hey, that's for me today. Praise God. Wow. Praise God for you. That's awesome. Church, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Today, I confess that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And I call upon you, Jesus. Lead my life. I put it in your hands. And I promise to follow you. Today, tomorrow, all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.